From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Lawmakers will return to Augusta next week to take up a half dozen vetoes from Governor Janet Mills, including one controversial gun bill. Kevin Miller reports.
Mills vetoed 12 bills during the two-year legislative session that ended last month. Lawmakers have already upheld the governor's vetoes on six of those bills and will take up the remaining six when they return to the statehouse on May 10th. The highest-profile measure would have banned bump stocks and other modifications that allow a semi-automatic gun to operate more like a machine gun. In her veto letter, Mills echoed concerns raised by gun owners' rights groups and sportsmen that the language was too broad and ambiguous. And given the unanimous opposition from Republicans, Democratic supporters don't have the votes to overturn the veto. Mills also vetoed one of her own bills, to set a minimum hourly wage for farm workers, because of changes made during the legislative process. She also blocked a proposal to create a higher tax bracket for the wealthiest Mainers. It takes two-thirds votes in both chambers to overturn a gubernatorial veto, which has never happened during Mills' 6 years in office. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
In a historic shift, the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration is proposing to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous substance. It's currently ranked as a Schedule I drug in the same category as heroin and LSD. Reclassifying it won't make marijuana legal. And as Caitlin Bedine reports, here in Maine, some advocates don't think the change goes far enough and won't make much of a difference.
The DEA's decision to reclassify marijuana from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule III marks a major departure for the agency, which has traditionally maintained that it has no medical value and a high rate of abuse potential. But advocates and regulators are split on the importance of the change, especially in states like Maine, where marijuana is already legalized.
It still puts it in a difficult class, in our opinion.
Susan Meehan with the Maine Cannabis Union says reclassification doesn't go far enough. Schedule 3 drugs are considered those with moderate to low abuse potential, drugs like ketamine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone.
You know, it still puts it in a class that's even more stringent than something like Valium.
So while Meehan says it's a symbolic move, she points out that federal regulations continue to lag behind the 24 states that have legalized recreational use and 38 more that allow medical cannabis. Instead, she'd like to see a new and even lower classification for it. John Hudak, director of the Maine Office of Cannabis Policy, says the reclassification will make a difference.
It is doing something that no administration in the past 54 years has done, which is to consider cannabis something other than being in the category of the most dangerous drug.
Once marijuana is a Schedule 3 drug, Hudak says cannabis businesses can access federal tax credits that they were previously excluded from. In addition, funding will be available for federal research on marijuana. State Representative David Boyer, who previously led the effort to legalize marijuana in Maine, says he's glad Maine businesses will be able to access those tax credits. But he agrees this is not the end of the fight for legalization at the federal level.
We're hoping that this reclassification helps with the research, with the banking, but we're ultimately looking, you know, to deschedule cannabis.
As far as cannabis users, Matthew Schweik with the National Marijuana Policy Project says the change won't have much of an effect, even if it has been legalized on the state level.
And so anytime I see a change that can unlock research potential, I'm very excited and pleased. So that to me is the best thing about this. But if you're an individual who uses cannabis for medical or recreational reasons, you are still beholden to state law.
Because businesses still can't transport marijuana across state lines, it's created siloed industries and regulations in each state, Schweik says. And that contributes to higher barriers for new small businesses to enter the market.
When you have higher barriers to entry, That means the capital requirements are higher, and that squeezes out smaller operators, small businesses. It makes it, it tips the scales to a bigger group that can open a chain.
The ultimate solution, Schweik says, is for Congress to pass legislation to fully legalize marijuana. For now, the reclassification awaits review by the White House Office of Management and Budget. It would then be open for public comment and considered by an administrative judge before it could go into effect. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
And a federal judge has denied a pair of motions by a Kennebunk doctor facing federal drug charges. Dr. Meredith Norris is charged with 17 counts of distribution of a controlled substance to five patients. She moved to suppress evidence seized during two searches and to disclose the grand jury's testimony in her case. Norris claimed that officials relied on false statements and omissions that impaired probable cause for the search warrants. Investigators say Norris overprescribed opioids without medical cause after reviewing patient records. In her ruling, U.S. District Judge Nancy Torreson said Norris exaggerated the prosecutor's conduct and that there was sufficient material evidence for the grand jury to indict. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, we'll talk with a longtime senior producer for NPR about his new memoir. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.